Hey out there, welcome to another episode of Talk About That. I'm your host, John Driver, with my co-host. You have to introduce yourself.
Oh, Johnny W. How are you guys?
I can't do everything for you, bro.
Usually you say my name and then I'm like, hey.
I know. You wanted that cool, like, pitch into you thing. We'd like to welcome our other co-host, Dane Allen. Oh, wait. Johnny, he's not here today.
These flaky.
Say it. Say it.
I'm not going to.
Dane hates the M word.
What generation is coming next that we can be like these? What? Because
they have a name.
Do they?
Because my daughter's in it. So I mean, I haven't gone to such lengths as to learn it yet.
No. But what is that generation going to be signified by? Obviously, they'll have grown up only knowing about social media, so that'll be a thing.
Well, you know. I don't know. Oh, it's coming. Generation after millennials is called Generation Z. People born from the mid-1990s to the early 2010s make up 25% of the U.S. population right now.
Oh.
They're a larger cohort than the baby boomers.
Well, so, it's the boomers are all dying off.
Yeah. Well, that's we started off on some
we really did.
Happy notes.
to our boomer listeners out there, we thank you. And you had a good run. I don't know.
For those of you who are listening, obviously you can't see, but right now I am sitting in an overcoat with – I have these gloves I got in Bolivia that are made out of alpaca wool. You call it wool still if it's not sheep?
Alpaca – yeah, wool. It's okay. Wool.
When the fingers are cut out, but it has like these cool little pullover they turn into mittens, Johnny. Very masculine mittens.
Oh, it flips over –
yeah, you didn't
the
know
fingers,
that? Look.
I've seen this.
Yeah, it flips over. And then this one, you can just yoink. You can pop your – look at that. And now you're wearing – Johnny's face right now, I just turned my gloves into mittens, and he is absolutely – his mind is blown. I wish you could see this. And I don't
understand mittens, though. Can I say that?
Sure.
When would you not prefer to have a glove over a mitten? Because a mitten, like, you don't have the use of your fingers, individual fingers. So who's wearing a glove going, you know what? Let's bind all these bad boys together. Let's put a sweater on this.
Well, I think that you gain extra warmth for a mitten because
the
fingers are huddled together, Johnny. Like a family,
well,
like
you
a
get
community.
A sweat, you mean a sweatier hand.
It's like
is
a
what
phalange
you mean.
Community all gathered together and
that's
sharing
beautiful.
Each other's warmth. It really is. It's a great.
That's a holiday message.
Oh, my goodness. It's a type and shadow of the gospel, Johnny.
How was your holiday? Good presents, Sadie, get some good things?
Sadie did. She had she got some virtual reality glasses
from
one of her grandmother's, and so I've had a lot of fun with that.
Did Nana put on the VR glasses?
Everybody did eventually, and some people really freak out about it. Like you've seen the commercials too. Be like, oh my gosh, and run into walls and stuff. It's like, hey, or you could just remember.
Yeah.
That you're wearing virtual reality glasses.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
it's not real.
Right. Just because we put it on your head, it shouldn't cause like you to be suspended from reality. But
so that's cool. VR. My niece got VR goggles too, or whatever you call them. And she put them on me, and she had a roller coaster one, and you could turn around and look behind you in the
cart. Oh, that's
cart.
The crazy part. Yeah.
And it creates this whole other world. But the cart was empty, so I just look around and be like, I'm by myself on this roller coaster. And then I felt like the loneliness set in.
You just had like a childhood flashback.
Even in the VR world, I'm a sad person riding a roller coaster by myself.
Some guy walks up to you in line and spits gum on you or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're not tall enough to ride this.
And
they chase you down.
Oh, I've seen
anyway.
It's weird.
Virtual.
Well, she got that and she got, so they have a new Simon. You remember the Simon
game? the memory thing.
Yeah. But now they have them as goggles. And so they have like four zones. So
when you look.
So they hang, it's like clear, and it hangs in front of your eyes down to here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put your hand up in front of it. So it's like green, yellow, red, blue. And like you have to
try to. Oh, I thought it'd be like where you look.
How would they do that?
Well, that's how they do eye gaze system. That's what Curry takes care of, a lady who uses an eye gaze system. And she can say words and stuff. That's how Stephen Hawking communicates.
By
he looks at certain regions on a board, and it spells out words for him.
Is it?
So that could work for Simon.
Well, okay. That'd be pretty expensive, Simon.
It would be. I just thought maybe they've harnessed the
technology.
No,
I'm sorry, Johnny. You had to use your hands like an animal. I mean, it's a good grief. This, speaking of, we're getting so diva about stuff. Yeah. We should probably tell the listeners what happened at lunch today.
Well, we were asked to be seated in a booth because I always say, they say table or booth, and I'm always like, I want to sit on a cozy couch and eat my food like I do at home. What do you mean? Who orders a table? I want a booth, always a booth. John's adjusting his chair and destroying his phone.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're a disaster. No worries. So I said, they said it's a 15-minute wait. I thought they meant like, if you want a table, you could have it now, but if you want a booth, it's fit. So I waited 15 minutes. Then you weren't there yet because you're always late. Then they bring me to a table, and I have to like decide, do I want to pitch a fit that I ordered a booth?
And so you sat down.
I sat at the table, and then I texted you immediately and said, pitched a fit. I texted you and said, we're at a table, and you went, what? You were appalled.
I did not. I said boo, by the way, but only in reaction to you. Yeah. I was fine with the table. Actually, I don't like tables.
And then the lady came, took our order, drink order, and then I said, hey, is it possible to move to that booth? Because the booth had cleared behind us, but it wasn't her section.
Well, that's not what you said. Is it possible to move to a booth? Because I asked for a booth and they came in, and I thought we were waiting on a booth, and then they set us here in the pit of despair.
I did say that.
And well, she didn't laugh at all.
And nobody in the tables in the surrounding areas who heard me say pit of despair probably cared for that either. They were like, oh, we didn't know.
Like, we're down here in the pit.
Well, it's like the food's not cheaper there. You know what I'm saying? If the food was $5 cheaper and you're going to seat me in the table underneath the little weird palm frond fan, that's fine. I'll make that decision based on value. But if it's the same food and I can have a better experience eating that food, why would you not sit in a booth? Plus, we're sitting catty corner from each other. That's a weird moment.
Well, because the table behind us was encroaching upon the direct.
It's a lot of dynamics.
Yeah.
So we were sitting like an L. So it was almost like we were a couple. That's an uncomfortable.
That got weird. So then we went over to the side section. She moved us to a section that had nobody in it.
Yeah.
So literally, because you were a diva, we got our own side of the.
Do you
restaurant.
See what I'm saying? You have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
That's biblical. That's what the Bible had in mind when they wrote that, I'm sure. I'm sure that's...
Hey, speaking of the pit of despair, so I introduced Sadie to Princess Bride.
And?
Over Christmas break. Oh, she loved it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So my wife's not a big fan, which I don't even know what sort of person
right.
doesn't like the Princess Bride. But some other mom said they didn't like Princess Bride. I don't know if it's like the dudes like the Princess Bride and not...
Yeah.
We need to poll our millions of listeners.
It's not like my favorite ever, but I do love it. How could you not like The Princess Bride?
Well, I mean, when you say it's not your favorite ever, you're casting doubt upon it as if there's something about it I should...
I think it took me time. Like, I didn't like it the first time I saw it, I don't think. I think
How
it
old
took
were
me,
you?
I don't know, 15 maybe?
You didn't like The Princess Bride the first time you saw it.
Well, it's kind of romantic and, it has those
elements.
Well,
yeah, but it's silly
it.
Romantic.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe some of us are just in touch with our feelings.
Yeah, that's it. So tell... You're wearing your peacoat. So tell your peacoat story about the Old Navy.
So years ago, our whole church was going, we just started the church. I had just gotten here. We were going to a play at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all loaded on the bus. A bunch of people drove, but we took our church bus and was riding next to this old gentleman named Tony, who's passed away now. He was just a really nice guy. And I had it's the same coat, by the way. I have not upgraded my pea coat since then. And he said, "That's an awesome pea coat, John. Where'd you get it?" I said, "Oh, I got it at Old Navy." He goes, "Got mine from the Old Navy, too. I was in about 10 years." And like, he went into all these. And I didn't have the heart.
It's a different Old Navy.
I didn't have the heart. Like, I was just calling it the Old Navy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I knew. But
that's a terrible. It's terrible to go into the military just to get a coat. You know, that's not a reason. There's other places to get coats.
Yeah.
I've heard. I don't know. And you have a Christmas birthday, I think, a total distraction from the meaning of Christmas.
Well, it's a and you sent me a text to say as much.
I always do, because it's important. Yeah, it says, "Hey, John, happy birthday," even though your birthday distracts from the true meaning of Christmas and the birth of our Savior. I forgive you. Whatever. I'm going to pray through.
Could you get it changed?
Yeah, maybe you could move it to August. There's not a lot going on. Is August good for you next year?
Well, I am a 28th. Is my birthday.
And Christmas birthday stinks. We know that.
our friend Rachel had her baby on the 28th. So now I share a birthday with beautiful Nalani.
Nalani.
So, yeah. And I got to hold her the other day. So it was awesome. But I think her life's going to be enriched because we share a birthday. So
I think that it's going to be a complete ripoff, and she's going to realize it too. Because there are going to be a lot of people get her things and go, this is for Christmas and her birthday.
Well, the way you know if you're a Christmas baby is if, number one, your birthday presents get wrapped in Christmas wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one telltale. So when you're a kid.
Right, because they want to buy separate wrapping paper.
Right, they already have all this wrapping paper. Who's going to go waste their money on separate birthday? You know. Number two, if your birthday presents are found under the tree, that's another way that you know. This is not the appropriate location, you know.
It's ridiculous.
There's all these little things, yeah.
There was a Twitter handle, Twitter moment. You know, they make these moments. It's all these tweets strung together, and it was people reusing Christmas cards, just changing things. And I had that happen one time. One time somebody took birthday paper, or Christmas paper, and it said – or no, it was birthday paper, but they wrote – it was a happy birthday, and they wrote Jesus. They just wrote Jesus with Sharpie on it.
No way. Oh, that's great.
And so it was similar to that, but it was so funny. People found these different uses. Like there was the three wise men, and it was like, congratulations on your new promotion or whatever. And then all the wise men had little voice bubbles drawn with pen. It said, congrats, great job, or whatever. All the wise men were saying things. Like, that's pretty good, recycling. One of them had taken like stickers and crossed out letters in the words Merry Christmas, had Santa Claus, and said, this is going to help me so much at the on this is going to save me so much in name tags at the workplace. And so it said Merry Christmas, said me Chris.
My brother used to get us cards. He would intentionally go buy the wrong card and cross everything out. It'd be so inappropriate.
Oh no, of course. Yeah. One time on my birthday, I worked with a guy named Alvin Chen at the movie theater, and he was the funniest, most random guy. And he got me a nice gift, but he also got me a condolence card. And it had this huge poem about love and loss. And, you know, it's, if you remember them, they're never really gone. And at the moment, just wrote, you know, happy birthday. You know? This is a really interesting kind of person.
Yeah. We had a good time. The holidays felt, I mean, this is in a good way. Holidays felt like they lasted a long time this time.
Well, you got it. The kids are home a long time. You got a kid, so that's...
Well, and it's like an epidemic around here. So not only is this the coldest it's ever been in Mount Juliet that people remember. Like,
are we breaking records?
I believe so.
Okay.
It's cold, but there's also like just epidemic sickness. I mean, just, man, every kid's got...
People always say that though, like, it's going around. Is there something going around? Yeah, I think there's something. There's always something. That's what we do. It's a human condition. We spread diseases and pass them to each other, and then we die. That's humanity. When has something not been going around in history?
Well, I don't know if it's – I will say this. It's more consistent.
Okay.
It's like Sadie got sick and then she got –
So you're saying it's going to Sadie and so that's what makes it epidemic because she's your
I
only
have
child.
This one
– Oh, it's terrible.
Test, this one test market. It's like – but all of Sadie's friends
Well, I hope she feels better. I know she had like a strep thing.
Dude, let me tell you. Yesterday, most traumatic – So Sadie's 9.
Right.
And lots of people are not big fans of needles. Okay.
No.
I mean, I don't know anybody. I actually, into the place in life, I just prefer them because I feel better quicker. So,
I go get a shot.
When I go in, I'm like, look, what do you got? Just put it in, you know.
What was that sound? Is that the sound?
That's the sound of the shot going in.
I don't know what that is. Is he wetting the needle before he puts it in? The doctor? Hold on. Let me just, it's like the basketball pump needle. That's ridiculous.
Can't you imagine?
That would be a great thing to do. Hang on, it's got to wet this. All right, now we're ready. Now we both have hepatitis.
I can't figure out everybody keeps getting sick from this office. God, that's great. That's funny. That's got legs.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong. But anyway, so she went in to get a
drug blood
drawn.
So we go in, and because she's just kind of been there. It's kind of puny. And so we go in. And we knew we had to have blood drawn. She had blood drawn once before, and she did okay. But she was really sick then, like so much so that she didn't remember much. And so this time, though, here's the thing. So if you're listening and you're a medical professional in the children's world, I don't know how it is with all
those
the kids.
Those are pediatricians.
Well, there may be pediatric nurses and others. So if you're in that world, I will say this. They're so kind. I need them to not be so kind because kindness is good. I'm not dogging kindness. But if your kindness leads to a long delay, for a child like mine, you're just leaving her mind to wander. And the longer we drag this out, the more we deteriorate into just utter madness.
Yeah.
And so the doctor comes in. She's great. She tells her. And she's like, well, you know, she didn't say the words. Like, they had all these different words in front of Sadie, you know, for her to know. She leaves.
What words? Like blood?
No, she didn't say that. Well, we'll get some panels, or we'll get some.
Oh,
you know.
Right.
And so Sadie doesn't know what that means.
So, well, I heard Mom talk about those. They're room darkening and hang them up. Panels.
Right. So she leaves. Sadie's like, oh, okay. Well, what are they going to do? And we're like, well, and we kind of prepared her.
Yeah.
And it was she was trying to be so brave. We're like, well, they're going to do a blood draw. She's like, okay. She kind of does. She just kind of shrugs. Okay. She looks, and within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm trying to be brave. So now the tears are started. And you wait. And you wait.
But you could have waited to tell her.
Could have. Didn't.
Because, so really, it's you're the one.
Listen, Johnny, here's why. When they're younger, you can get away with that. My kid will not be. You're going to have to straight out, bold face, lie to her.
Right.
To say no. When she asks, she will not. She will not be deterred until she gets an answer.
So you're not comfortable lying to your kid?
I'm not.
All right.
And I'm a horrible liar. It's not that I would love to think I was just, you know, more.
I don't know if you're a horrible liar or not. I'm trying to remember if you ever lied to me. Have I ever caught you in a lie? I don't think so.
No. I don't even try it.
Maybe you're just that good, though.
That could be the case. Like, man. Right now, I'm just.
You're lying because you're saying, I'm a horrible liar. That's what a great liar would say.
That's true.
I'm a horrible liar. You'd know immediately.
This is so great. This is such a Enneagram 6 conversation we're having. Like, how many layers am I deceiving myself?
Not a sponsor. Enneagram's not a sponsor.
Am I deceiving myself?
Did you see my Twitter, my tweet the other day?
I do look at all of your
My new idea was a singing Enneagram where a barbershop quartet shows up at your house and tells you you're an introvert.
No. How did we miss that?
I don't know. It's a great idea.
It's probably sick. And that segues us back to the story.
Yes.
So they come in and.
Rolling veins.
And keep trying to talk to her.
Okay.
Like, oh, honey, it's okay. And she's just
right.
Escalating.
Her mind is.
Yes. Yeah. Guys, stick the needle in her and get it done.
Wow.
So. I don't know. It looked like a good vein to me from where I was, and then it just went into hiding.
Well, she's a thin girl.
She is, and she's upset, and
yeah.
So they can't find it. So now she's got a needle in her arm to no avail.
Man.
So then they pull it out. She thinks it's over, and you got to tell her it's not over.
It's going back in.
So they got to go out, get another needle, because they didn't bring one. So every time this happened, they had to go get a new one. So it's more waiting, four times. Four.
That's too many.
So they went and got the phlebotomist.
Who is the guy who, he's got like, what, like.
Johnny, I was throwing you a softball.
I'm trying to think what a phlebotomist sounds like. I always think the words are so funny. Like, where do we get that from? Phlebotomist. I think of like a grown man wearing like the water wings. Like that's what a phlebotomist would be. Yeah, he comes to the gym, but he wears water wings like a child. He's 35. He's a phlebotomist.
Well, I was at a hospital visit last night, and someone said Flo the phlebotomist, like they had a.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was a PH though. Flo. Anyway, so the phlebotomist came in. She couldn't get the needle in. Then, so finally, my wife is just a brilliant nurse, and she can literally get blood out of anybody. And she's like, guys, because now your kid's getting. Sadie's literally using the words torture because she's a little verbal.
Well, that's because, you think, where did she learn the word torture from?
Well, she
that's
knows.
That's not just being verbal, that's being dramatic. This is torture.
Well, I mean,
you're like, well, tell us where the terrorists are, and this can be over.
Would you like for me to go over there and stick needles in your arm?
Hey, did I tell
minutes?
You about my friend who draws blood from
like on a piece of paper?
No, from animals at the zoo. He is a hippo phlebotomist. I'm sorry, I just had that one in the that was in the chamber.
That was what I was wanting the first time.
I'm sorry. I wanted something like that.
So.
Okay, hippo so but they couldn't four times. That's too many.
So the last time they and it was two in like the arm. What do you call this? It's an arm. It's between your.
It's at the joint of your elbow.
It was the other side.
Yeah, it's the where your arm bends.
Yeah.
It's what like is a, that? Is there
an elbow?
A name?
I think Seti calls it an elbow pit.
Yeah, I can see
it's
that.
It's an elbow pit.
Is there a name? There's got to be a name.
I don't know. You
guys,
know
if you know the name, you can reach us at talkabthatpod. And that's you can it. Let us know what that is. Yeah. We don't know. It's like a little, there's a little line there all the time. So
yeah, it's an elbow pit.
It just tells you where the needle goes, but they couldn't find it there. But here's the thing. You were kind of mad because you said at lunch, you said, Laura said, I'll do it. I know what I'm doing. And they didn't want it. And you were like, and they wouldn't even let her do it. I was like, yeah, because the liability, because if she does find something, then it starts spurting blood. And
you think we'd blame them for that?
Say, yes, you're in their office.
So I'm not that guy.
But we're litigious. We're litigious. A litigious people.
Johnny, I hate litigiousness. I hate saying litigiousness.
Yeah, you're right.
Litigiosity. No, but it was a, guys, seriously, we got it. Because we were a little worried about, and she just seemed kind of puny. Like, we really need to get this blood drawn. So they're like, well, if we can't get it this time, we'll send you somewhere else. We're like, for God's sake, we're not going to drag this kid all over town. It wasn't necessarily their fault. I don't know. Could I have found the vein?
Right.
Heck no. You know, so I'm not blaming them for that. But
there's a thing they do where they slap and it's supposed to pop up. It makes the vein
well,
appear.
She hated they'd tie that rubber band thing around, yep. And she hated that worse, I think, than the shot. You just, I don't know. Yes, dramatic would be correct. But
well, that's not wrong. I mean, I'm pretty dramatic, but that's okay.
Well,
that's
I got, okay. Not, you know, when I was her age, you know, up till I was 20, any time that you would give me a shot or take blood.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up, as you know, Johnny, very masculine.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Very masculine. And I grew up doing commercial lawn care. And so we'd be outside and sharpening blades and you slice your hand open. Like, none of that bothers me. Like, burn yourself on engines and changing oil and other things. So none of that. I could see blood in just real life, not a problem.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you put me in a medical environment,
mm-hmm.
and you go to draw blood, I would throw up. Like, I would have this,
okay.
this what do you call it? This vagal reaction where you
feel vagal?
Like, it's called a vagal. It's a vagal nerve where you feel like you're going to pass out. Your face gets real hot, you know. Dude, funny story. They gave us, what was it? One of the vaccinations, MMR, in like eighth grade. I don't know why. I mean, I just remembered this. I was in Algebra 1 in eighth grade, Miss McCandless's class,
mm-hmm.
sitting there. And I know I have this problem. I'm not afraid of needles. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I can talk about them. I'm not afraid of pain. But put a needle in me, I throw up. It's going to happen, you know, or I almost pass out. And so we had to go down to the nursing area to get the MMR shot at school.
All right.
They don't give shots at school anymore, do they?
I don't know if they can because so much of it's, you got the vaxxers and all that, the anti-vaxxers, they're all fighting it out.
Yeah.
They need to do a family feud with that, like a vaxxer family and an anti-vaxxer family. See who's pastier. I don't know.
So I come back, I got the shot, and I thought I'd survived. I walked all the way back down the hallway, mm-hmm. sat down in the classroom. I'm feeling great. I thought I'd conquered it at eighth grade. Then all of a sudden, this great nausea begins to build. I'm sitting there like, I can't get out of here. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, I don't know what it really sounded like, but I'll go, Hua! Like I had this big gag.
Oh, yeah.
Like I thought, here it comes, and I couldn't stop it. And I just went, Hua!
Did you throw up?
No, nothing
dry
came.
Heave.
It was a dry heave, and I immediately felt better. And I looked up thinking the whole class is going to be like, what the heck? And no one was even looking at me. It was like God.
Maybe it was in your head.
It was like God hid the dry heave, Johnny.
Wow, there's a book title.
That's a true story, guys. And that was the day I knew something.
Have you ever thrown up in school? Has that ever been a thing?
No, I don't think I ever threw
There's
up
always
class.
Like the throw up kid. It happens. And then they used to sprinkle this stuff on it.
Yeah,
like
what was
sawdust
that?
And
it was like kitty litter with sawdust.
There used to be a comedian who talk about it. He would call it, I think it was Ted Alexandro. He would say the vomit. It was like the vomit fairy. He would come in sprinkling it. Don't be alarmed, children. It is I, the vomit. He had a cape and everything. Oh, he's better. I remember it smelled worse than the vomit. Whatever it was, I remember it had a pungence.
It was supposed to have some sort of like minty. It
soaks up. Man,
it's
kind of
like potpourri in the
Maybe
bathroom.
It was mixing with the stomach acid. It just makes
kind of like potpourri smells worse than poop to me.
Curry was mad the other day because where mints would be on the counter at the restaurant we were at, uh-huh. there was just a bowl of potpourri. And she thought, people are going to grab. It's like saying, no, we don't have any mints, but smell this. And she thought people might just grab it and start begin eating.
And they could sue the restaurant.
Oh. I could.
I've seen it 100 times.
People are very litigious, I've heard earlier in the podcast. So let's talk about resolutions because it's New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about this Sunday in your sermon that like you're one of those guys and I'm this way too. No matter how good of a year you've had, you're doing this thing at the end of the year where you're like, I'm in shambles. I got to pull it together. I got to be a better version of myself.
Yeah.
And And I'm in touch with my own darkness in that way because I'm a comedian. So you're always – I write from that place. And I know you are too because that's just how we – that's how we are. But I don't know if that's necessarily healthy or if it's good. But it's like people make jokes about it on Twitter. I know people are like, oh, I've already broken my – like it's not worth making them. And I think that that's kind of a weird thing too. So do you do resolutions or do you call them that, goals?
I don't know if I make – I think I reset goals. That I have all the time around New Year's. I can't say that they're, I don't know, I don't do resolutions.
Yeah.
But I will set out, but I'm always trying to set out to be a better person. It's just, I don't know. I think it's just a good time of the year to just evaluate. That's really what it's about for me, reflection. But I know if I set a bunch of goals, I know where.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Sometimes it's good though, like just to go to take stock. Okay, this is some areas I need to be working on to make myself a better person or whatever.
Well, I've gained a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
Some of that's just health. This is a good time. I was just eating straight apple pies out of the carton. Wait, they really come in cartons. Apple? Pie pans.
Well, if you go to McDonald's, they have those ones that are like...
Yeah, but that would be too small. Like Costco sells apple pies.
Well, they're two
pies,
for a dollar.
You get huge.
You get two at a time.
The other night, Johnny, really, Laura was like, I just want a little bit. A little bit of apple pie. Just in the microwave with a little bit of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I go. I get her. I take two plates. I put a little bit of apple pie on hers, a little bit of apple pie on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the microwave for about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I got the ice cream out ready to scoop. Just a little bit. You know, a sensible, moderate amount of
pie. A normal
food.
Human amount of pie.
Right. And during that 30 seconds, I'm standing over this cold pie that we're about to throw away the next day because it's New Year's Day and we're about to start back. What do you think I do?
You ate the pie.
I took a fork and began literally just taking pie straight out of the pie pan cold as I heat my pie in the microwave. I'm eating pie
because
I can't wait 30 seconds.
It's like a control for the experiment. You want to know, okay, the cold pie tastes like this. So you know the difference.
I wish it had been that. It's just eating's a hobby. And so that's some of New Year's about is about, look, all right, it's not really a physical cleanse. It is that, but I have to stop thinking like this. I have to stop thinking like I could just do whatever and just eat pies.
Well, yeah, it's like there's a cynicism if you're not careful there's a thing of like, it's almost like fatalism, like let's not even try that I see sometimes, like on Twitter more so. Twitter can be way more negative than Facebook. People just let loose. And I prefer Twitter, but I notice that it's way more polarizing. People are like, they've decided this and this is how it is. And you're like, wow, this is very, they don't want feedback. They're just like, the world is on fire.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that. So I saw this negativity of like, people are already clogging up my gym. with their resolution, you know, and I'm just like, okay. And I was like, so I posted yesterday. I don't normally post anything serious. This was only partially serious, but I was like, how about encouraging somebody?
Yeah.
You know, like instead of rolling your eyes at somebody who's trying to get their life together, who clearly is embarrassed at what they've let themselves descend to in some cases, they're like on the treadmill for the first time in a year.
Yeah.
And you're going, that's my treadmill. Like, that's so, like, be a human being, please.
Yeah,
and so I put that, and people were like, you know, people were like,
"How did they write that?"
They were like clapping back at it, like, "What do you mean? I don't get it. It's not a joke." No, it's not a joke. People thought it was about me too. Like one friend of mine goes, "You're doing a good job, big guy," and I was like, first of all,
oh, no.
Big guy is like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Second of all, it wasn't about me. I haven't gone to the gym. I've been working out at home. I've been doing the I have a treadmill in my house.
Right.
But I will go back, and I have a Planet Fitness membership. It's my fat tax. I go pay it. You know, I'm not going to cancel the gym membership. It's my fat tax. But when I go back, there's going to be people that are that way. They're like, I never see this guy in here.
Yeah.
It's like we get mad at people for trying. And I just think that I don't want to go to that place. I'm trying to not be that guy.
No, I really do believe that the patterns, when people are trying to break patterns, and we had this conversation in our community group last night, and you know, we sat down, we're restarting community group stuff, and we did something new with some questions. And I could just tell people were just gonna, if you're not, if you're not careful, you'll just sit. And I try not to be the pastor in those groups. I really, mm-hmm. really don't, because I think we should all be pastors. I just really do.
Yeah.
I think we should all be shepherding one another. I think that we've got this expert attender mentality, and that's a problem. And a lot of us who consider ourselves the experts are okay with that bad deal with people.
Yeah.
And but I just said, guys, I gotta find out what y'all are thinking. And I just started asking them, when you see these questions, when you see somebody saying on January the 3rd, hey, you know, we're going to do it this way now, mm-hmm. what is your first knee-jerk gut reaction? Is it an eye roll? Is it a here we go again? Something, you know.
New programs.
Right. And then we started getting honest about what those things are. And I do think that people are afraid of patterns, of trying to break patterns because of failure. I think failure is the greatest deterrent to why we try, or we stop trying, or are afraid to try. And you're right. When society now gathers around, you already have all of your own demons inside saying, you know, you can't, you can't, you can't. And right. when people chime in with that, even in a funny way,
It discourages you. You're like, well, I may, or people just assume, like, I'm going to do this for 2 weeks and then I'm going to quit. Then it's like, yeah, but you have to start somewhere. What if you don't? What if this is the year that you do break through and you do, you know, change the way that you eat, or you change the way that you whatever?
When you may have a year, you know, there were some years in my early 30s that I broke through.
Yeah.
And I made an assumption back then that I would always be able to live in that discipline. Mm-hmm. And there are maybe some people who do. I think most people don't. I think life is fluid. Life is holistic. There's going to be, you know, and that was something. I'm reading a book on prayer, actually, which sounds so, he talks about that very thing. Like, you think that you need to learn how to pray better. And whatever that is in the Western thought processes, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is that life is not just made of, hey, if you all prayed better, this would work. Your life is whole among many other things. It's not as it's not siloed as we think that it is.
Right.
And he was saying, you know, what you really need is a whole life where prayer is a part of what you're doing, because you're literally just having these small, even one word. There was a, I remember it was Augustine or someone, they call it, somebody in the 15th century, so it was way after Augustine, but they called them breath prayers because they were prayers you could say in one breath. They were quick things of, look, you should just be, and he goes in this whole deal about Jesus being completely dependent upon God, which is this like almost, it sounds almost sacrilegious to us, but then he goes through all the scriptures. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. I don't say anything except what I hear the Father saying.
Yeah.
I and the Father are one. It's like he goes through all, especially in John, all these scriptures, and that he gloried in his dependence and his oneness with the Father. And he even says, you know, if you were to ask Jesus, how's your day going? He would say, well, mine and the Father's day are going great. No. That's great. I'm glad the Father's great. How was your day? But Jesus would have had no identity. He wasn't out to, he wasn't searching for himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to, it wasn't because he was Christ either. Like, this is how he wants us to live. And he made this crazy statement, Johnny, that just really was like an amazingly good gut punch, like that I needed to throw me out of some amount of religious ways.
Yeah.
He said, there's only one time in Jesus's life that we see him not in that level of oneness with the Father, and that's in Gethsemane and the cross. And you see this great agony, you know, you see this, these tears, and he's it's the only time we ever see Jesus feeling lost. And he says, Jesus's worst moment is our daily reality.
Yeah.
Because we live without, we feel like that we need to become someone, that we need to become good, that we need to become capable, that we need to overcome life's problems. And the Father, our relationship with God is like an additive, you know, mm-hmm. but we don't feel desperate or dependent, because those are just churchy words and we don't know how to, we can't even hear them anymore. But the truth is, when a real problem comes along, God's who I go to only when I'm desperate. I start going, well, how am I going to fix this? Because I, you know, that's just how I think. Instead of remaining desperate for God and really believing what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so so back to your resolution conversation, you know, I'm finding myself walking going, you know, my real resolution right now is to not, because I will go down so many rabbit holes of, well, John needs to lose 20 pounds, okay? John needs to pray better. John needs to study more. John needs to write this many things this year. John needs to do this better as a pastor. And this, and I start going through, it's just like all these little silos, and they can't all happen in my life.
Yeah.
But what it can happen is that I walk in my life feeling that I remember I'm dependent and that I glory in that. Like there's good things there. Because what it causes you to do is I stop engaging endless rabbit holes. I'll get depressed. I'll get real fat. Oh, God. I worked hard this week and lost 1 pound. Oh, I tried this week, but Sadie got me out in the middle of the night. And I didn't wake up early enough to pray the next morning. It's just like all these failures. And most people's Christianity gets boiled down to that, like the list of things you did or didn't do well that week, even if you theologically don't believe that, you functionally believe that. And there's like this freedom to say, you know what, today I can't do anything without Jesus. Why don't I just talk to him about that? Hey, Jesus, I can't do anything without you. And so you begin breathing these one word prayers. Hey, you know, I lost my check card today for a minute. I'm not being cheesy, but like, hey, Father, help me find my check card. You know, I'm depending upon you. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it before. You know, I had to balance the budget yesterday. Hey, you know, I don't have anything unless you give it to me. I begin to be grateful for those things. We get a good report from the doctor on Sadie. Don't just shrug it off. Have a moment where you're one with the Father. That was Jesus' whole point of being. My only reason to be here is to be one with the Father. Anyway, I don't know if that were you, Johnny. No, I took it where I wanted to go.
You really did. You really steamrolled me.
Yeah. We just unplugged your microphone for a while.
That's fine. I had to run to the restroom. I'm trying to pull it. It's the whole thing of like the balance of accepting yourself for what you are and what you're not, while also working to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you throw that into it, my identity, what I grew up with, I'm always trying to unlearn some things sometimes. So that's the thing, is like effort. Effort is not the most important thing to me anymore, but it's not on the list though. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like this idea of like, well, God loves me no matter what, so let's just party all the time. Like I don't necessarily, that's not a healthy thing either. So I don't know. I'm trying to start running again, but and I'm hearing about this runner's high. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I get runner's high.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I always think that people who say that have never really been high.
Well, that would be true.
Like, I don't want to reveal anything about my own testimony, but I'm just saying, I've not experienced it. And if what you're saying is high, then
that's funny.
I just don't get it. I always, you know, when I feel good, when I've quit and I've done it, when I look back and go, I ran that thing and I finished it.
Right. You like the accomplishment feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can get in, and I think it is that, you know, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, and I'll be back. I'm doing about 2 miles right now, but on a treadmill because it's 2 degrees outside in the morning. I'm not a big treadmill guy normally.
But outside now, it'd be like breathing in needles. Right.
I can't start from there. Now, when I'm running well and it's cold, I can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now I'd come in with
the... I was training one time for the... it was a half marathon, and I was running training runs of 6 to 8 miles. And Taylor Wright, our friend who was in the Marines at the time, he'd just gotten out of the Marines.
Yeah.
So he goes, well, let's go run one day. He's in good shape, you know. I go, okay, we'll go run. We met at Long Hunter State Park. It's got this great loop around the lake.
Right, over the bridge.
Couchville Lake. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. 2 miles is a loop. I said, we'll run this. I said, let's do 6 miles. Oh, that's great. And I'd been doing that. It was the coldest day, and we met at like 7 a.m. We got there. No one was at the park. It was like... God was not up yet. It was one of those days where you just go, no one's here.
Right.
And like, he forgot to hit the button and start nature. It was so cold. And you get the lake effect of the coldness when around a body of water.
Yeah.
We ran 2 miles. And when you get to the back, you know, you were back to where our cars are. We can start a second loop. And I decided, like, I'm going to let up and see. You know, you don't want to be the first person to let up. But we kind of let up like... And I saw him kind of, oh, maybe we'll stop at 2. And then he said, thank God you stopped. And this is a guy who's like, he runs, you know, a lot. And he ran with pack on his back and everything. And I look over to him and I realize we had sweated and it had turned to frost on, like his eyebrows looked like an old man's eyebrows. And my goatee was full of like
Nice.
Mouth moisture that had frozen solid into my goatee.
Shoo.
So I looked like, yeah. Isn't that gross? I looked like the Santa Claus, like I'd become.
Wow.
So anyway, that's just, but I was so glad when he stopped, because like, if he'd gone on, you know, you just, we'll keep going. But it was like breathing in needles.
Isn't it amazing the power of not wanting to stop because other people are still going?
I guess.
Do you recall the first time you and I ever ran a half marathon?
Of course. I talk about it whenever I do Sunday morning services. I still tell that story because we decided we're going to run together.
Uh-huh. It was February.
Like, we didn't hold hands or anything, but we didn't. We stayed. We jogged it.
We skipped the first 6 miles. No. So yeah, I didn't mean like skipped over. I mean, we were skipping.
Yeah. No, we...
It was in...
Strawberry Plains, Tennessee.
Which is like very hilly.
It was February. Cold day.
And the most I'd ever ran... I had ran 6 miles as my max.
Right. I was training for a full
and
marathon.
You were training.
I was training for a full marathon.
And you talked to me. You lied to me. Talk about lying.
I don't think I thought it was a lie at the time.
You lied to me and you were like, John, you're so athletic and you're so, you're fine.
I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. You totally sold me and built up with my pride.
I think what I told you was the distance between cardiovascular-wise, the distance between 1 mile and 5 miles is more than cardiovascular-wise, than the difference between 6 miles and 13 miles. And I really still do believe that. If you can get to where you're running 6 or 7 miles.
No, I agree with that.
To go to 13, and that's what I thought. Well, you've ran six. That's a bigger jump than 6 to 13. Whew. And it was not, because you you finished. I remember you saying, like, I'm seeing spots.
Yeah, I thought I was going to. Well,
is everybody else seeing
was,
this?
That was, so, yeah. That was the thing. I was so stubborn
that
I refused to stop. I would not walk.
Was it because you were like, if this fat guy can do it, you were like looking at me like this clown.
Well, it was, I don't want to, like I needed to accomplish.
You would have let me down.
Like nowadays, if I start feeling bad, I'm just old enough now that I just stop and walk for a second.
Yeah.
Like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't need to conquer this. I enjoy it and I'm trying to be healthier.
Well, in the Battle of Marathon, the guy died at the end. That's something worth noting.
Absolutely.
He fell
ran
over
there
dead.
Naked and he died.
Was he naked?
He ran naked. You didn't know that?
I knew that the first Olympics were naked, but I didn't know that he ran naked.
I think that was kind of the thing, Johnny.
I don't think so. We need to research this.
Wind
resistance. I know the first Olympics in Greece were naked, which makes that whole Greco-Roman wrestling thing. That's unsavory.
It is weird. I do believe that the guy who ran...
He ran naked.
Yeah, the 26
Where did
miles.
He put the message? There's not a lot of storage. Not a lot of storage in the human body. Was he holding it?
Where did he put the message?
Yes. Was he holding
it? We're going to go ahead and say yes.
Is that where we get the baton? Was he holding up a rolled up thing and that's where we passed the baton? Was he passing
he didn't
the,
pass it on
the scroll?
He got there and...
He shouted it.
I don't know.
What if he,
I think the message, by the way, was...
They won the battle.
That the battle was won or whatever, or lost, one or the other. I can't remember which one it was.
Now it'd just be like a tweet and it'd be like, big deal. I got 15 favorites.
It is funny that we literally made a thing out of that guy.
Yeah.
Running that 26 miles.
Did he really die, though? Maybe that's just a myth, too.
There's no way to know, Johnny.
Because history is written by those in power. It's a better story if he died.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because we all go run it now.
Because it's dramatic. No, it's dramatic. It's like with his last breath, he told of the victory of the whatever.
I don't think he was running on a trail. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was cross-countrying up and down mountains and other things, so.
Well, I mean, we don't know. Is it flat in Greece? Was it Greece?
Athens? I think it was Athens. Was it Athens and Sparta?
Athens had beaten back the Spartans, maybe?
I don't know. Johnny,
did he shout out, "This is Sparta," and kick a guy into a hole? Because I've seen this. Maybe that's who died.
That guy definitely died.
He wasn't naked, though. I saw the movie. Anyway, I don't know where I'm at. But running, I'm trying to get back in running, but it's hard. I ran last night, or I walked last night some, and on an incline. I'm trying to get up to where I'm running some. Then you run a little bit more. You walk a little less. It's a process.
Yeah, it's my go-to thing. I really enjoy that. It's not everybody's go-to thing, but for whatever reason, I like that.
I don't know.
It is accomplishment. I'm very accomplishment-driven. I can't get away from it as much as I...
But it's easier to try to do things than it is to not do things. Like if you go, well, I'm going to run a marathon this year versus I'm going to try to drink less. Like I hear people say that. I'm going to smoke less.
Right.
How do you even
quantify
that?
You're not redefining your...
How do you quantify that goal? Hey, look, less than who, you know?
No.
Ice cream, I'm cutting out no ice cream, no sweets.
I can't follow you on that one, buddy. But I can follow you for a few months.
Okay. And then you're off the...
Then I'm going to buy some pies again. But it really is. That's what's sad. Some of my goal is to get back to the place that I could do what I was doing.
But you know what? Ice Dream doesn't count. That's not ice cream.
That's worse for you than ice cream.
No, Ice Dream is not ice cream. So when I say, hey, I'm going to give up... By the way, don't you hate when you go to Chick-fil-A
and they won't acknowledge it's ice cream?
You go, get them an ice cream cone. They go, one Ice Dream cone. You're like, okay. Because you didn't call it... You have to call it by their dumb name at these fast food places. Can I get six hot wings? One Wild and Wacky Wing Pack coming up. Stop it. Just give me six wings. Why do I have to use your terminology?
No, I agree. It's weird. You should. There's a couple of things you just can't. You can't recapture that name and repurpose it for your own.
Ice Dream.
Ice Dream. You can't do it.
Well, it's partially frozen yogurt. It's a Froyo ice cream combo is what they say. It's got its own texture. I like
so you're telling me they have made something new and that I should acknowledge it.
I think they've made a hybrid. And
but did they make ice cream better?
No. See, but it is better. It's supposed to be better for you. It's less calories than ice cream. It is.
Have you looked up calories? There's nothing at Chick-fil-A that's below.
The large cone is like 270 calories.
It's amazing that we spend as much time and money at Chick-fil-A in the Southern culture as we do because the food is awful for you. And it costs a lot more.
Well, and church people defend it because it's they're Jesus. They love the Lord. So they're like, that doesn't mean it's good.
Right. You're still killing yourself with it.
Yeah.
That was your kids playing the playground.
Yeah.
I had one of the most traumatic.
Chick-fil-A, not a sponsor.
I do love Chick-fil-A. I can't help it.
I do too. It's so good.
Oh, it is. I don't know what it is about it because we have a Zaxby's in town too. And I love Zaxby's.
Not the same.
But like my kid will choose Chick-fil-A over Zaxby's every time. Mm-hmm. And you can get a lot more food at Zaxby's for about the same price.
But I want a chicken sandwich and Zaxby's has little fingers. They try to put those on a bun and go, here's your chicken sandwich. And the fingers are falling out
the
back of it.
So you say because Zaxby's doesn't have a filet.
Yes.
And see, that's the namesake. Say now I'm going to start a restaurant called Steak Filet because she's really into steak now.
But steak sandwiches would be hard to chew. It's like, oh, you're biting through it. Like a prime rib sandwich, maybe something tender.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a
like a big steak. You're tearing. It's like a tearing
she's
motion.
She's nine, John. We haven't really worked it out.
My buddy Brent will not eat meat on the bone. Do you ever know anybody like that? He'll eat meat, but not on the bone. Why? He doesn't like that tearing caveman feel.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
I would love to eat meat.
You're very primal. He hates it. Like, he won't eat chicken wings.
In other news, Brent's in much better shape and health than I am.
He is.
That would be probably because he is.
He's trying to get back in running, too, though.
He's one of those probably, guys, like, starting off at 6 miles.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't ran in 5 years. I went out and...
One time he did that, he said... he did the country music marathon, which is here in Nashville. So he told me he was going to do it 1 year. And they limit it, each pool of people... Like, you can run. This many people can run the half.
Pools?
Yeah. This many people run the half. This many people run the full. So he got there late to sign up, and they said, well, there's no registrations left for the half. We've capped it.
And he only trained for the half.
He'd only trained for the half, and he said, well, there's spots available, and he ran the full.
No problem.
Yeah. He did it.
Yeah, that's Brent.
I didn't say it was no problem, but he finished in like,
come on.
He finished in like
4 hours.
Johnny,
my life would be in danger.
He finished in like 4 hours, three and a half, 4 hours. I was like, jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
My full marathon time was 6 hours.
You know, I haven't done a full
marathon. Getting ready to take the cones back down. They were taking the time clock. They're like, we think it's six. Who knows?
All the Ice Dream had melted at
we
the
need the chip from
line.
your shoe back or whatever, the chip timer.
Sir, you're not going to get your deposit if you don't. Yeah. I have considered running. I considered training for something like a marathon because I turned 40.
It's a good motivator.
Well, I haven't turned 40 yet, but you know what though? I've been down that road, Johnny. I just no pun intended. I don't think I need an event. I really don't. I'm an introvert. I like running alone, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, but there's something about it.
No, and I'm considering.
I'll come
it.
Down and cheer for you, bro.
Why don't you come down and run with me?
No. I'm not ready because it's April, right? There's not time. There's time to get ready for a half.
Yeah,
maybe.
I was thinking like one in the fall because I turned 40 in December of this year.
You know, there's a 40-mile race. That'd be something.
That'd be
ultra.
Jumping up there.
That's an ultra.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So you guys took me out for my birthday.
I did. We did.
We went to Top Golf,
and it was freezing there too.
And it was wonderful. I was really surprised because it was about 20 degrees. And 5:20 on a Thursday night in Top Golf was absolutely slammed.
Well, we had the bowl game in town next day, so we
Kentucky,
think there might have been some of that.
Who won that game?
Northwestern.
Anyway.
Yeah, last minute or something. Oh. Like it was a comeback.
It's hard to make fun of Kentucky anymore.
I know they're better than us.
Yeah.
They're better.
But we ended up getting a table at the restaurant. That was nice. Waited an hour, hour and a half there. And then we went out to play. And if you're not familiar with Topgolf, it's this range. It's like bowling meets golf.
It's like a driving range that keeps score for you.
Yeah. There's chips in the ball.
Yeah.
And the ball comes out and you hit and there's all these little targets, like these huge holes out in the range. And they're lit different colors. It's really cool at night because of that. And so the screen will tell who's up, you know, and you play these games to keep scores. And so anybody can play, and it's fun. And I have not swung a golf club since you and I were in Dallas playing
Well,
at
it
Top
didn't
golf.
Show. You were clobbering the thing.
Well, of course, we're out with John Kerry, who's a natural athlete who can just – he hasn't hit a ball either in 5 years or whatever, but he can hit it, you know, over the fence every time if he wants to kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's just sickening.
What's his problem?
And a couple other guys, they're all – you know, so everyone grabs a driver. That's what everyone does.
Yeah.
And they go and start hitting. I can't hit a driver if I don't practice. I just can't. Like, I can hit it, but I can't make a – I can't hit a straight shot right now. And so I finally gave up on the driver in the first game, which is kind of for score. And I grabbed an iron because an 8-iron, almost always, I haven't played golf, I can hit 8-iron straight.
You lowered your expectations.
That's exactly what I did. I've been doing that my whole life, Johnny.
So that's what I'm doing this year for my result. I'm this is my 8-iron. That's what
I'm
saying.
Run 1 mile.
Run 1 mile. That's it. This year, 1 mile.
I was successful.
Yeah.
And I did really well that game. I actually had a decent score. Although I'm sure the other guys could have put down their driver, pick up their 8-iron, and all scored way better than me. But then the second game, you remember this, don't you?
No.
You remember what happened the second
game? I was
only
focusing on my game, John.
There was a – so the second game, instead of just hit anywhere, was you have to hit into a certain target.
Certain targets. Or you get penalized if you go on the wrong one.
Yeah. You lose points if you go on the wrong one. So, Johnny, somehow – throughout the first, you get like what, 12 shots? Is that what it was?
Yeah, you scored like a negative four.
Through the first eight. Like I was hitting, even at the one I could hit in all the first game, I hit at it.
Yeah.
And it would literally land a foot to the right of it and roll off, but somehow it would not hit into any of the other targets. I had like a straight zero through like eight. It was almost like harder because you had to hit something out there.
No.
And then I started hitting negatives and it was bad.
You ended with like a negative 18.
Yeah, happy birthday. Me.
So what a self-esteem boost for you, like, going into the new year.
Well, you know what, though? I gave up a long time ago on golf, adding to my value as a man. Like,
and
you
you're 39 now.
I am 39.
But 40, we're going to plan a big trip. We need ideas. At TalkABThatPod, John and I are going to take a dude trip. Maybe some other guy friends will go with, but we don't know what to do.
People are talking about Vegas, and I'm not – I've been to Vegas. You've been to Vegas.
You're right.
And – I went with my wife, and that was fun.
Yeah.
She had a work trip, and I had a writing trip while she
was
there's
a certain – there's Vegas is like – there's a lot going on that we don't really partake in.
I'm not like a fan of I'm not opposed to a slot machine. I'm just bored.
Yeah.
Like I just don't really
– Yeah.
I'm like, hey, how quickly can I lose this, whatever I've cashed out, because I'm done with this.
But yeah.
I know it makes me a bad gambler, and I'm sorry, guys, but it just – I just don't. Maybe if I won.
Is there such a thing as a good gambler, John?
I guess if you win a lot of money, I don't know. But and the shows, I go see Blue Man Group. That'd be fun.
That's great. Celine?
I would, if we are a bunch of dudes, go see Celine.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Can we sing in falsetto, like with her, like sing along?
Dude, near, far, wherever we
near,
are.
Near, far. Is she, you love Celine, don't you?
I don't love her, but, and I got dragged there by Jeffrey, who went to Vegas with me the first time I was there.
Yeah.
I was there for a week because I was doing a church at the end of the week, and they said, we'll put you in a timeshare for the week. Jeffrey was going for a convention there that's like a big, it's called NAB. It's like a electronics convention.
Tech, yeah.
So we went and kind of hung out in this great timeshare. He goes, I'm getting us tickets to Celine. He goes, you don't have to buy yours, but you have to go with me. I go, all right.
Just you and Jeffrey.
Yes. So we looked... He looked like he was my trophy boyfriend. I'm just going to say. There's no way around it.
Right.
But I was there prepared to not, because I'm not a big pop music guy. She was unbelievable. Well, they built the place around the acoustics of her voice somehow. That was the big rumor. Like, it was built to the exact, you know, specification. Okay. She was unbelievable. And she's kind of a dork.
Yeah.
Like, she's not really like a front, she's not like a pop star, like
French
a diva.
Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So she's got kind of a silliness to her. And she would kind of be self-deprecating between songs. And I just thought she was very charming and so gifted. And I liked the show. It was very good.
Speaking of the famous vocalists, were you in on the absolute just the Twitter trouncing of Mariah Carey on New Year's Eve?
No, you know, last year it was worse because she quit because her track wasn't right. They played the background track and she got off track because she couldn't hear her own voice. I didn't see it this year. Did she watch it? Was it worse?
Well, first of all, Sadie's watching. I will let Sadie stay up, and Sadie says,
"She's pitchy, dog."
She says, "Mama, I think Mariah Carey's dress is definitely inappropriate."
Oh, is that what they were dragging her for?
No, the dress? No. Okay. No, but it was brave because it was cold.
Yeah,
and so she needed an overcoat because I can't imagine how she was literally able to just function because I mean it had to be cold. But the deal was, how could anybody sing? It was like zero.
Yeah, it's hard.
And so I could tell the first song she was struggling, which I've never heard Mariah Carey struggle, you know. And then she stopped in the middle or in between. She said, "I'd asked for some hot tea. I can't." Like she actually, you could tell she was acknowledging she was struggling.
She's a little rattled, yeah.
And she wanted some hot tea and nobody would bring it to her. And so you could imagine Twitter just absolutely just...
Well, that's wrong, though. If she needed hot tea, she... Like, I used to do that. Like, I remember one time I saw somebody do the national anthem or do a song. It was somebody that just did a song, maybe Kelly Clarkson or someone, at halftime at the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
And she pulled her ears out halfway through, and she was very pitchy. But I was like, oh, this girl, these people can't even sing there. And our producer at the time, Travis Wyrick, he goes, she just couldn't hear herself. That's the only reason. He goes, I've been in situations like that where it goes great in sound check, and then all of a sudden your monitor doesn't work. And if you can't hear yourself, it's 100,000 people.
Yeah, you're dead in the water.
You're dead in the water. You're just guessing if you're hitting the right note, and you lose all feel. You're already a little rattled and nervous. She was young then.
Yeah.
And I used to just go all in on those, like, these people can't even sing their own. They need a teleprompter to sing their own songs.
Well, I'm a horrible vocalist who sings, so I have a lot of
I have a lot more. Right, I have a lot more sympathy now than I used to, having done
it. I have in-ear monitors, and if I don't hear. But Mariah, though, was probably getting paid $3 million. So,
sure.
But the deal was, then she sang Hero, and she actually, I thought she did fine on Hero, but you could tell she was cutting the notes short. She was doing all the little tricks, and when your voice...
Yeah.
The way I sing... Try to sing every week. She was doing 10 times better on her worst night. So, you know what I'm saying. But I'm not a pop diva star, Johnny.
A chance that she has strained her voice over the years and it's not as strong as it used to be. There's always that chance that she's using more help. She's using tracks.
Think about it on Twitter, though. I get it. But I want to go, guys, surely no matter – that's okay with me. If she's older and she's been doing these world tours all of her life, and right now her voice is not everything it once was when she was 19. Y'all can't deny that she is one of the greatest vocalists of a generation.
Right.
Like, to me, it was almost like – now, I think they're getting her for calling it out with the hot tea and everything. But I want to go, I have a hard time.
Yeah.
Someone who's proving themselves over and over and over and over again to do something that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, nobody else can do what she's done except maybe Whitney
Houston.
She
gets that weird like whistle octave where she's controlling the whistle tone.
They have a name for that. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like if you could do that. Like,
yeah. You win.
Leave her alone, everybody. Yeah. Who cares? If she could mess up the rest of her life and they're still going to pay her money for it and she's still one of the greatest of all time. But.
You know, Mariah Carey has been a common theme in these podcasts. Have you noticed
that? And I've talked about her clothes both times.
Clothes?
Oh, jeez.
How tight they were. Now you're like, I don't know how she's singing, man, but whatever.
It wasn't meant like that. My voice sounded nothing like that. All I was saying was, Sadie pointed out, my 9-year-old innocent daughter. That's all.
Whatever.
Gosh, you found a way.
You were hitting your own whistle tone. You're creepy. Stop it. No, Mariah is a very good. When I found out that she wrote, the Christmas song, that's when I was like, all right, I'm all in. You're right, though. She's one of the most talented. She's a Hall of Famer. She's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. So whatever happens now is just about, is she going to, because she had that time in her legacy when she started hanging out with rappers and she was doing a hip hop vibe and she was doing that.
Videos in her back of a motorcycle.
Right. And so it's like, okay.
You should be driving the motorcycle.
Right.
You're
the diva. Yeah. You're our Aretha. What are you doing back there? Right. And then she can do what she wants though. Right. I'm not going to, whatever, Mariah. Like we're on your side, Mariah.
A wave runner, maybe something.
Yeah. Anyway, we love Mariah.
Be a weird video.
I don't know why, but we do.
Are you hearing that?
Yeah, you're getting that.
I literally have my phone buried under so many layers. I don't know where it is.
I'm sure this is very important. Your call is very important to us.
I'm going to find it's gone. It's probably I'm sorry, listeners, but I do want to know this. Who out there who's listening can get Mariah Carey an interview on this show?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't it be great to interview? It'd be, I mean, John, we'd be jumping. We'd be jumping to another level. Because
we would double, easily double our listeners.
If somebody can get Mariah Carey on the show, what will we send them? A Johnny W. DVD?
Sure. I got everything I got. I got t-shirts. I got CDs.
I can send you seven books. I can send you seven books of other people that I've written with because you wouldn't want to read any of mine.
That'd be great.
It'd be great.
It's a whole – It's a. So somebody reach
free
out.
Sponsorship. We'll give you a free – we'll mention whatever it is you do on the show for the rest of the year. Huh?
Love it.
Yeah. Mariah Carey, we want to interview her right here.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to call her in. So
she's the hero. She could be a hero in this situation. Not like I can be your hero, baby. That guy. Who is it? Enrique Iglesias?
Is that him?
He always sounds like he's about to cry. I can be a hero, baby. He always sounds like he's about to maybe break down.
Yeah.
That's not... And it sounds like I'm going all in on a vocalist after saying I don't do that anymore.
Wow.
But I just don't care for him.
And that's okay. You're allowed.
Yeah, it's styles.
Yeah, you're allowed.
There's a different flavors for everybody, and that's fine.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll have our own vocalist, Dane Allen, back in the next episode. And we are working on our guest list for the year. I'm excited about all the people who are going to be on. We'll talk about that. And it's going to be a fun time. But our hour's up, Johnny.
It is. You got to go pick up your daughter.
Yeah.
Well, hope she's feeling better.
Well, me too. Me too. But send us your questions, your comments, share, and tell your friends about it. It's a new year. You know what a great resolution would be, Johnny?
What's that?
Listen to Talk About That.
And share it. Yeah. And it's a new year. It's a new you.
You
or
think,
whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
How many church marquees have you seen that said that?
I've new year,
at
new
least
you.
Two or three. So there's a lot of things about our church that's not the best, but I'll tell you one thing that's amazing.
We don't have a church
marquee.
We have
marquee. No
marquee. It's built into our core values as a church.
Don't give ourselves a chance to do something horrible.
Yeah.
So, but, hey, you guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on
Talk About That.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.